The views expressed in our episode are ours alone and do not represent any other organizations. Our episodes discuss internet crimes against children and cases that involve the exploitation of children and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Yeah, we don't want to do anything to scare your children. That's the last thing we want to do. We don't want to scare anybody.
Buddy, welcome to Catfish Cops. My name is Brandon Poore.
My name is Tony Godwin.
I just had a conversation with my wife the other day. She asked me, how do you say your last name?
Me?
No, me.
How do I say yours?
She said, how do you say, she meant our last name.
Oh.
And I said, Poore. And she said, yeah, someone corrected her once when we were dating. And she said, they told her, it's Poore. And I said, I don't think I have the discipline to say Poore. I would probably say Poore. Poore?
Poore, that's what I say.
Yeah. Poore. And then just now I realized I just said Brandon Poore. It's a little kind of like a hybrid of the two.
That's an interesting thought.
We haven't been drinking, I promise.
No, we haven't. It's actually only...
It's only 4:50?
4 o'clock, yeah. 4:50 in the afternoon.
Yeah, I just wanted to start the episode off with some randomness.
Well, that is random.
Our listeners are excited that we're back and maybe doing a case study.
Yeah, well, number one, it's been a minute. Well, no, we have just released Jen's episodes.
You've heard Jen. You know, I think the takeaway that I'm seeing is people like Jen more than us.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Based on comments we've gotten so far, and only one of the episodes is out. The other one will be out here shortly, but a lot of people liked what they heard, so they were like, we want more of Jen.
More of Jen. I think less Brandon, more Jen, and, you know, kind of as much of Tony.
I don't know. That's not what was said.
That's not what was said, but that's what no. The self-esteem is making me believe that that's what it meant.
Well, you know, it's a new voice. It was a new voice. Hearing a girl talk about the same kind of stuff. But it's been actually quite a while since we've done our own case studies like in the past.
Yeah. So you are in for a treat.
Well, because we had so much stuff from the conference. We just got completely overwhelmed with the conference, which, by the way, we are already geared up and set for 2024's conference. We've already been asked to return as a sponsor.
Yeah.
We've already been asked to start lining up episodes and interviews with all kinds of people from all over the world. It was a huge, huge success. So keep in mind, I think you can register, right, for the conference now?
I don't think so yet. I think it's coming out.
Get ready if you're wanting to attend. There will be some announcements coming out, some emails coming out. But gear up because it's in August of 2024 and we will be returning as one of the sponsors and doing what we can do again next year. Hopefully the same success.
Well, and I came up with this brilliant, brilliant idea, if I do say so myself, that when we do our case studies, we need Jen to sit in with us and just add a few comments here and there, you know, just side commentary for our case studies.
Well, really, yeah, that's not a bad idea. But honestly, she probably participated in a good portion of the ones that we talked about.
Well, that's why she could comment on them is because she was there for them. But... Yeah.
That'd be a different perspective.
I say that brilliant idea because that's all it was. She is so shy about being on here. You know how much we had to pull teeth to get her on for those episodes.
Yeah,
she was so reluctant to do it.
It cost us what? Like a really fancy dinner or something?
At a pizza place.
And then we had to, you know, beg, borrow and say, look, it'll be fine. And she thought she was, what did she say? She thought she had a little bit
of... She pretended she was sick.
Yeah, I just don't feel that my throat hurts or whatever. And we're like, whatever, you sound fine.
Yeah, she was fine. So what you don't know is she's been on a large majority of both of our cases.
Yeah.
Kind of not behind the scenes. She's writing, you know, she's writing legal process and paperwork. And sometimes if you hear it go federal, she was probably involved in
that, she was the catalyst.
She was probably, sure.
At least for me, you're in a different spot with your TFO spot, but
she's, at the end of the day, she's got a lot of wisdom and a lot of insight in this case, in this field of investigation. So, I understand why people really liked hearing from her.
If you haven't listened to her episode yet, go hit it up.
It's
episode 118, and then episode 119 is the follow-up that we did with her. So I think you'll really enjoy it.
Where are we, Tony? Well, you don't have to name where we're at, but we're not in Texas.
We're not in Texas. We are kind of in the northwestern part of the U.S. The
Pacific Northwest. And we're overlooking. Right now, I'm looking at the mountains with the clouds, like foggy on them.
Overcast. Beautiful. It was really foggy today. It rained a lot today. But it's nice just seeing mountains. And we're in a place where we have been before. And we were here back in what? Was it 2018?
2020. So. Yes, the last time we were here, I don't want to say this honestly because I'm afraid to say it, but I think quite literally the last time we were here, we left and like a month and 10 days later, lockdown happened for COVID.
Yeah, that's
like true. It was a month and a half later and we are all in lockdown for COVID.
That's very true. Which have shut everybody down, as we all know. We've talked about that many, many times before. But it is nice to be back. It's nice to be doing a few case studies again. We're going to try to get as many as we can set so that we're pushing these out back again on a weekly basis. We know we had a dry hole for a couple weeks, but bear with us because keep in mind we are still both working full time and doing this stuff
day in and day out.
And this is just the side hustle that we do that isn't really a hustle because it doesn't really do anything except get us an opportunity to put these out. So
we were discussing the ability to put some of our case studies back out because we know that a lot of listeners really like the case studies. And so it's sort of a trying to do a balance act, right? To balance interviews and other featuring other people. You know, we don't want anyone to be bored with us. Or anything we do, but we also want to just balance out, like letting you hear from other people, letting you hear case studies, letting you hear interviews, letting you hear educational things. Hopefully,
I mean, in all honesty, there are so many people in this working this crime type around the country that do so many great cases. It is to me, it's very refreshing for me to speak to them and interview them about things and what they've done and their successes. And just see how consistent it is across the board. I mean, we are fortunate to be able to go and travel all over the country to get to teach these folks how to get up to speed and get running. And this was a really, really successful trip.
Interestingly, one of the people attending our class had done ICAC previously before promoting up into a supervisory position. Starting, I think, back in like 2012.
Yeah, because he was doing some head nods when I was talking about stuff back in like 2006 and 7. He was like, I see him shaking his head like, oh, yeah, I remember when that was popular back then and stuff. But
and it was really insightful to see that the concepts are very, very much the same. Yeah. The platforms and things have changed. Technology has obviously changed. But hearing his stance kind of back in the day versus now, and just having sort of a vote of confidence in like, man, this is really, you know, the way it's being done today is really great, but it's not, we didn't reinvent the wheel. We're just sort of evolving as it goes. And it was a cool experience to have someone that's from back when Tony was starting as well.
Yeah. Roaming the earth with dinosaurs when that existed and all that.
I didn't say that. I would never talk about that person that way way.
I say it happily. So.
Well, let's get to our case study, I guess, and talk about our randomly generated name, Mr. Blake Wells.
Mr. Wells. When was this case? What year was this?
So this is a 2018 case. Of course, you know, I'm sort of in the midst of, as you know, you've heard me talk about playing both a boy and a girl in online chats and talking about...
Sorry if you hear a little bit of echo. We'll get rid of that part of it if it shows up. Keep going. We can get it.
Anyway, so
we're in a public place right now, and
there's a lot of echo.
It's been pretty quiet, but there's a little echo. We don't have our normal mics. If it sounds a little different, we're trying out a new mic. Because it's just easier to travel with
trying
that,
to travel light.
With, yeah, trying to travel with our regular stuff is tough. So,
so yeah, you've heard me kind of go back and forth. We've gone between profiles, portraying ourselves as mom, as dads, as boys, as girls. And it's not necessarily a preference of one or the other. Always, sometimes it's just platforms and what works best. But in this case, I was a boy in 2018. And I was particularly around the age of 13. And so I want to say this is a Craigslist case, but it's really not. It's kind of an interesting thing that this began on Craigslist in so much as there was an ad placed about a room, about some areas that are kind of interesting and intriguing in the way we look for them for our cases. But it was very quickly moved out of Craigslist to another well-known, very popular for this kind of problem, child exploitation application, because a QR-style code was placed in the Craigslist ad. And because of that, I moved right out of Craigslist into this other application.
Well, without mentioning that other application, obviously, we're not going to divulge that right now because
we don't want to do that.
But it is interesting because in regards to the actual Craigslist ad, and we've talked about many cases involving Craigslist back in the day, this one's interesting because the title of it was Dallas Dad for Son,
yeah,
which is pretty bold. And it was in, and then it makes reference to a group that was started on a separate platform. And the title of this, the text of this particular ad read, "Are you a son that my group, Dallas Dad for Son?" Doesn't really make a lot of sense how it's written, I guess.
But. Well, it actually, and I think that it got cut off.
Oh.
It says, "Are you a son that needs a dad, advice, curious, or a mentor? Join my group," and it mentions the specific application. It's got a hashtag, Dallas Dad for Son. You know, hashtag, it used to be a pound sign, but the hashtag, Dallas Dad for Son, and then I scanned that code that it provided, and it took me right out into this other application. And automatically, because of that, I'm in a group. And it's a group of men in this group, in this dad for son group, and they are chatting and discussing and
openly communicating specifically about what? Let them know.
You know, I think it was just sexual chat at that point. I don't know.
You say that so cavalierly, like, it was just sexual chat.
I mean,
of course, what else would it be?
But if you knew this application, you'd understand that it's probably not unusual for it to be a sexual chat.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I'm in this.
And considering the job, you knew that already.
Yes, you knew it. You're not listening to this because you're looking for cooking recipes. Although we have a few because we like to eat. No, we see. So I scan into this room, and the room is very active. And, you know, it's sort of, if I could give you a mental picture of how I felt, it's like, you know, the boy that walks into the school dance,
right,
and everyone's dancing, and then you walk in awkwardly and the spotlight hits you and the record, scratches across the thing. And it was that. It was like I'm into this room, and all of a sudden it's like, "Hey, who are you? How are you?" And it was like sharks,
like
turning on
a new kid at the school who's walked in for the first time, and all of a sudden everybody turns and looks. Like,
but it was more so like Shark Week on the Discovery Channel when they throw the blood into the water and all of the sharks turn.
Like that's salivating dads all over the internet are like seeing Brandon's underage profile in there.
Man, if that's not a great visual right there, the sharks coming for their prey. So I'm coming into this room. They turn towards me. They're asking questions and things like that. And after they ask my age, I tell them. And, you know, it's sort of
in
like
the whole group or to one specific message with somebody?
I told the whole group. Oh. And some of them were like, "You can't be in here. You're too young." Things like that. The normal response,
even though that's not what they want to say.
That is not what they want to say.
Can I meet
you know, and some people, some in the group were okay with it. Some were like, you know, "Hey, be careful." Things like that. They weren't necessarily like coming after me, but they also weren't saying like, "Get out." You know, there were some that were neutral, but.
Reminds me of the, not to get you off topic, but reminds me just the way you said that of the old Saturday Night Live skit where the girl from Seinfeld is on the show, and she's like, oh, what do I do with my daughter? And when she goes online, what's your daughter's name? And I can't remember the skit. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they're like
the fat guy with the glasses.
All predators like, learning how to talk on MySpace.
Skater yeah. boy.
What would I say if I were your daughter?
I envision a bunch of perverted men in this group seeing you come in like chum in the water, and they're like, hey, I'm a skater boy too.
I'm the same age. You know, and
maybe we'll put that clip up for our Patreon folks.
If you're a Patreon subscriber, we'll give you that sketch. That's a funny one.
That's a funny one.
It's an old one too. So this is interesting, and this is going to show you exactly what we're dealing with here. So in this particular application, there are people who are considered like moderators, administrators, and they kind of monitor things in different groups. Sometimes they even are the starters of the group or things like that. And in this case, in this case, I think that I'll call him an administrator. I think he was actually the person who started the group, maybe. Or if he didn't, at least he was early on. He messages me privately away from the group and asks my age. He says, are you really around 13? And I said, yes. And he said, well, then if you really are, I'm going to have to kick you out of the group, but I'll talk to you privately.
Of course. Yeah. And just so those of you who are listening and maybe don't have any concept or knowledge of what these groups do, they start up with usually one or two people, and then people who are what we call validated because of sharing of particular material that is considered contraband and a crime. Sort of validates them in the eyes of the people who are creators. So they get upped, their status gets up to that of sometimes an administrator, which allows them to then basically like accept or reject incoming members or require them to validate themselves by usually submitting some sort of horrible CSAM material to prove that they are really there for what they say they are there for.
Yeah. And they want to weed out, I guess, the weirdos and the cops, I guess.
I mean, if they're not all weirdos, I don't really know what else, but different weirdos,
I guess. Kind of weirdos. Well, and in this case, so he tells me, I'm going to have to kick you out of the room, but I'll talk to you myself. Don't worry.
He's a giver.
You know, they all are such mentors. And he does. He kicks me out of the group, but our chat continues. So I knew immediately that was going to be something that was an ongoing thing. You know, it's one of those, like, we've had other, and I don't know if you want to talk about this, but we've had other subjects that we've talked to who have said, like, no, I can't. Well, you know, one of them that you've heard from directly that we took down that met with both of us as boys told us, like, you have to tell me you're 18.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that whole,
hint, hint, wink, wink.
Kinda. Yeah. And in this case, it's, don't worry, I got to kick you out of here for the optics of it, but I can talk to you on the side.
It's a common theme. We've had others who will say, hey, you need to be really careful out here. There's a lot of weirdos, but I'm really the one you should talk to. I'm the safe guy. You should talk to me. Which sounds like what this guy did to you.
And so immediately he asked me to, and we'll talk about this a minute, kind of explain things if you don't know about it. But he asked me to download an end-to-end encrypted app that that I wasn't really familiar with at the time as much because it wasn't one that I was using very much.
Yeah.
It was fairly new. It's pretty common now, but it was very new at the time. And so let's talk a little bit about the good, the bad, the ugly of end-to-end encryption.
Well, the worst part is unless we are fortunate enough to make an arrest and potentially grab up whatever devices that these individuals are communicating from, it could severely hamper an investigation and our ability to recover that stuff from both sides.
Well, so what is, I guess maybe we should explain, what is end-to-end encryption, right?
Yeah, well, it's basically an encrypted tunnel. If I were to send you a message encrypted, it leaves my phone encrypted and gets decrypted through your phone through the app and allows you to see it, but nobody else to see it, including the company, allegedly, that provides the service.
Yeah. So, and that's really one of the best descriptions I've ever heard of that end-to-end encryption. Think of two phones communicating. One phone is an end. The other phone is an end. And in between is encrypted. And so there's been a lot of debate and discussion about this. There are some benefits to encryption, end-to-end encryption, I guess, that people say are benefits. I don't necessarily know if I agree that they're benefits, but one of the things that people often say is that it provides for privacy, protected communications, and especially if someone's in a country that is censoring or is run in a like a totalitarian way, then the encryption can protect people's communications and make them safer and free of that sort of censorship.
I can see it used for maybe like a trade secret kind of thing. You know, if there's a company in one part of the country and they need to send, you know, sensitive documents or something that are really pertinent or certain to them, or they're proprietary in some way. So an end-to-end encryption might be a safe way to do that without that getting compromised. But most people,
what does it turn into, though?
The majority of people that are using end encryption are doing so to stay hidden, stay obfuscated, to not get caught, thinking in their minds that we simply will not have the ability to, you know, find them.
And that's been a big debate. I don't know if you go look at the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's website and you just kind of do any research right now, the push for about 3-4 years has been they've been fighting to make sure that large social media platforms don't go to end-to-end encryption for their message services. And the one of the most common being Meta or Facebook Messenger. Yeah. They were fighting against that. And then just about a month ago, I think they enacted end-to-end encryption. And the argument from, I guess, the child protection agencies is, you are putting your head in the sand. You are allowing child exploitation material and communications to go on your platform unmonitored.
Yeah.
That's been a fight. If you go to California, you actually see signs up about Apple and into their iCloud being encrypted and people basically saying Apple is allowing child abuse to occur on their platform without monitoring. And that's some of the critique or criticism.
It's an ugly truth, but it's an absolute truth. And these companies have the ability to prevent that. There's many, many, many things they could do, and we could be on our soapbox for hours and hours about all of that. But this is just one of the reasons we just stay as passionate as we do about this, because it's important, and ultimately this will put kids, real kids, at risk.
Yeah, and if you actually go back to our page, our Facebook page, back in December, just about a month ago or a few weeks ago, we actually posted the statement from the Phoenix 11. The Phoenix 11 is a group of victim survivors of child abuse and child sexual abuse material, and they released a statement about the Meta change to end-to-end encryption. Yeah. That's very important. So go read that if you get a chance, but we'll come back and talk back about Mr. Wells now that we've discussed what end-to-end encryption is. I'll be quite honest, at the time, I did what we do when I don't know of an app, which is I got on that app and I tested it. I was actually at the time that I did this, I remember this very clearly, I was in Tony's office at work and I said, hey, we need to test this. And so we tested it, and what we learned is you can actually delete messages or have messages delete automatically after 5 seconds.
Pretty scary prospect when you, from you look at it from our side of where, as we progress in these cases, the documentation of this material is really critical. It's a very critical component for us. But we have to go through that process of testing things because, like, at the end of the day, we don't want to be compromised, obviously, as though we're gathering evidence like we do. So it's just necessary evil. We have to go through and figure it out. Is it going to, you know, make somebody aware that we've done this, or are we going to be totally screwed because everything deletes in 5 seconds or whatever? Because it makes things a lot harder.
Yeah, and that was exactly the concern. What it told me, though, ultimately, is this guy is going to be so extremely cautious. He is already from the start. He's probably, I can say, the most cautious subject I've ever encountered in my
investigations. Well, it sounds like he's got a lot to lose. If he is the guy that created the account, just the naming convention of the account alone, that or the group that he created, and the content that's flowing through there, you know, he's in a difficult spot. Just not that we care that he's in a difficult spot, but from his perspective, you know, he's like probably thinking, I got a lot to lose. So
on his picture that he sent to me is him. It actually turned out to be, this isn't giving anything away. He turned out to be a business owner, very lucrative, and very well off as far as like financially. He was very right. well to do. And so he does have a lot to lose. He's super cautious. He told me as we talked that he actually informed me that having sex with me would be a crime. And not only did he talk to me about deleting the conversation at least about, I think I estimated about 10 times in just the first 2 to 3 days that he was asking me to delete the conversation. But he went on even more into caution zone and said I needed to delete the application that we were communicating on and start over. That would happen every day or so where he would tell me delete the conversation and start over so that if it was ever discovered that you wouldn't have a history of it.
So that's the gentleman's career dissipation light flashing in the corner of his head as he knows everything that he's doing is absolutely illegal and terrible. And just one more way to ensure that he would not get caught or anything else. I've sort of cheated as you were talking there a second ago. I read ahead a little bit into some of these chats.
What do you think?
Good grief. You want to talk? Listen, we didn't mention this in the beginning, but this is one of these that if you're driving in the car with the kiddos, like, you probably want to turn on the Disney station right now.
I hope that, well, I don't
this
know.
This one is a little explicit.
I don't think we have to ever say that anymore, right? That, like, everything is explicit.
Yeah, but still, like, some of them there's not. You know,
we'll just say assume explicit until proven otherwise.
This dude is vile. I'm just like, what is going on here?
Yeah, so I've got screen captures of our chats that we had, and I've only sort of included a small sampling of them. You pick out and tell what you think is some of the most egregious things that he's talking about.
Well, he apparently had at some point, I don't see all of the communications, obviously, but at some point he had given you what appears to be some very explicit information on how to properly digitally penetrate your own self.
Yep. As I also perform a masturbatory act.
Yep. Yes. And then, this suggestion here, I guess we take this as a suggestion, but he tells how you should, you know, try your own ejaculate. And then
we're being so cautious and so, okay, so it probably because we're in a public place. He asked me remembering the fingering thing, and he's talking about like, try it while you're masturbating. He says you should taste your cum. Then he says, and we've heard this before.
We have.
You like pineapple? And I was like, yeah, I love it. I really do love pineapple. And he says, pineapple, and I'm going to quote, pineapple makes cum sweet. You know,
he
which
says
I'm
that
like,
with a bit of a whisper.
What?
And yeah, to me, the one that threw me way off was he's like, well, he goes, it's really fine. You should try it. Because obviously you raised a few questions like, oh, wait, what? Is that normal? Does people do that? And his suggestion to you, which is really off-putting, was, yeah, just jack off in your hand and then lick it out. And then he said, but eat pineapple for a few days and then do it again, and you'll see there's a difference.
That was his suggestion is try it both.
As I make a puke face right here.
Try it both ways. Try it before and then eat pineapple and try it again. It's nastiness.
His next suggestion is to basically like soap up your fingers and play with your bunghole.
Why did you said that was such a straight face. I cannot believe it.
Well, I'm a little shocked because I caught the next couple lines and I'm like, wait, what? It says, start with the outside first because blood starts to flow here.
Now, then he says there.
There, yeah. Which, I don't know. I don't even really know what to say about that. That's a little horrifying to think. And you're... Again, he believes he's speaking to a 13-year-old boy.
And that's the real takeaway. You know, sometimes we're cautious. We don't want to bring any sort of attention to these guys. We don't want to cause any sort of problems for their uninvolved family. But this is the real takeaway is this guy's talking to what he thinks is a 13-year-old boy about this stuff.
If you whacked.
If you read these chats, I mean, parents, that's why we talk about this so openly If you read these chats, you would just be floored. Your kids would not be online right now if you read the things that these vile guys are saying to us.
He openly tells you as a child, what he believes to be a child, that how much he loves to play with the hole, meaning the bunghole, and the fact that, oh, and then he asks you, this is an education component, I guess, if you know what rimming means, and you obviously say, well, no, and then he fully describes
exactly
what that is, which is, I think it's even too vile to say here.
Well, he describes it as putting a tongue inside the hole that he's been talking about.
But he says it's amazing, and obviously cleanliness is important, is what he says, but just how amazing it really is. And I'm a little confused why I'm a little disturbed, I think, about that, honestly.
Yeah, so as we go on, he's talking about meeting several times. We actually talk about meeting at the mall, parks, swimming pools. He asked me if I can go to the park and he could come find me and then, you know, take me and do
whatever.
Well,
let me ask you, did he claim to be local to you or like within some distance? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think he was from me around 30 or 40 minutes away.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, one thing that struck me about the request for the meetings at the malls, the parks, the swimming pools, things like that, is they're very common locations where we see child predators showing up or things happening involving, you know, child abuse. Because what do we find at malls and parks and swimming pools? We find people, but it more specifically, predators are going obviously where the kids are. And so it's interesting that, you know, these common places where he knows there will be people and it won't look abnormal for maybe some guy to be also where this kid might be. So he's talking about all of the normal. It's just so common. It's just so weirdly common.
I skipped ahead just slightly and I see that he wanted to share some material with you as far as like imagery or videos or something.
So
give him a little piece of that. That seemed like a pretty interesting thing as far as what his concerns were about getting to some way to be able to transmit that material to you.
Yeah, so he's okay. So first of all, let's just say this. I always say I believe in every hands-on child abuse case, there's grooming in everyone. I think 100%. The experts would absolutely agree with us there. What we've often told investigators and the community when we teach is there is grooming in all of these online cases as well. And one of the ways that we see grooming is the common questions that we get asked and the sort of topics we get asked. And Wells was no different. He's asking me about the common things, genital size, masturbation habits, body development, all the well-known topics, right? But in addition to those end-to-end encryption apps, he's also saying he actually threw out a curveball, something I hadn't seen before or since. He asked about sending a link to me, so I could see some naughty pictures of him. This was,
I imagine what that's going to be.
Well, I'm so disgusted. I got choked up. no, it was one of those. Okay, so he goes to a site, a browser, a web-based site that we know. It's not. I wouldn't say that it's so common. It's one that we're familiar with. But he goes into this site and he uploads pictures and videos of himself. Then he sends the link, but he didn't want to send the link. He was afraid to send the link because he didn't want, you know, think about this. He's trying to be so cautious and trying never to be caught. And he's putting videos and pictures of himself into it.
Yeah.
So he's super paranoid. So what does he want to do? This is a level of caution that we just don't see as much. He wants to call me with the link address, the URL, and rather than typing it, because he said if he ever got caught, the police could see our conversation. So he wanted to call me and tell me the URL through a phone call rather than giving it to me through our texts or chats.
Wow. a whole other component where I don't know that we've talked in great depth about those. We call those controlled phone calls, but
yeah,
it's a very added component that here in recent years has become part of the sort of normal routine for the way these cases go. And so,
and we've weighed out a few times the thought of playing those for you, letting you hear those. But I think there's too much risk of giving away techniques, of giving away common things that are talked about. And also, you know what? You don't want to hear from these guys. You know, it's bad enough that we have to repeat it, but you don't want to hear their voices, I'm sure.
Well, maybe we'll talk about it more, but maybe there's something down the road, little bits and pieces. There is a creep factor to it, I think, just from having done the calls or had to do the calls with offenders like that. And so it's very weird when they want to do that. Like, I think they're, for them, it's some sort of validation where they can, you know, in their own mind, think, oh yeah, this is real. Like there's a doubt or whatever. I'm sure, at least that's what they've told us. You know,
he was very comfortable talking. And now I'll give credit where credit's due. A really cool investigator from another area was my boy profile, because he sounded more like a 13-year-old boy than I do.
Yeah.
So when he would talk to this poor officer, this poor investigator detective, had to talk to this guy several times, and he had never, I don't even think at the time he was doing much of this, but he certainly had never called anyone or talked to anyone. And this guy
is very awkward.
And this guy is going to great detail about the things. And, you know, he's talking on the phone about the tasting of things. And he wanted to watch. I don't know if I should say this, but it's already out
too
there.
Late.
Yeah.
One
of the videos that he includes is a video of him peeing in the toilet, urinating. And
because that's what he likes?
Because he wanted me to see it. And then one of the things he told me was, I want to see you do it. And I was like, first of all, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that at all.
What is wrong with people?
But he was like, no, eventually you'll be so comfortable with me, I want you to do that for me. I don't know what that says. I don't know what kind of psychology that opens up, but we certainly we need to have a psychologist on here and just examine. And
we need to bring Dr. Burke back and ask a few more questions and see, because there are definitely some parallels that we see that are very, very common across the board with these. But, you know, that's at the end of the day, I guess it was successful. He got the URL to you for
he
where
got the
go,
URL.
And then you found obviously some photos or videos. Or
it's
whatever.
Interesting, though, to get into this site. He created a username and password, and the username was my name as my 13-year-old boy.
Wow.
And the password was, quote, just for, and then my name, 11, end quote. So it was just for my name, and then the number 11.
Well, again, another level of paranoia, probably, another level of... you know, once he heard what he thought was a 13-year-old boy's voice, then it probably solidified that, oh, this is real. This is it. He's hit the lotto, you know, like, which is very creepy, especially considering the platforms that he's on and the group that he's in charge of and all those sort of things. But
So as we wrap up this week's episode, because this is going to be a continuation to next week, I will share with you that, you know, it's unlike any website you ever want to log into. When I log in with my name as this boy and just for me, 11, what do I find in it? A folder with photos and videos of his penis, of him masturbating, and of him urinating into the toilet. And with that, we
aren't
leave
you so excited that you're going to return for a second episode?
You've got to hear the end of this.
We got you right at the edge of the seat. You're like clinging, like, oh my gosh, how did this end? Well, you can find out.
You will find out.
Next week.
Look, let me bait you a little bit. This, to me, was one of my most severe and serious offenders. To me, he was one of the most dangerous offenders that I dealt with. So you're going to want to hear the wrap-up next week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Have a good week.
Thanks.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Catfish Cops podcast, brought to you by Brandon Poor and Tony Godwin. For additional information and available resources, please visit our website, www.catfishcops.com, and click on the resources link.